Good morning. See you, please. See this many out this morning to study God's Word. A little small in attendance compared to all the families who are out on vacations. Need to keep them within our prayers, make sure they arrive back home safely and be back with us to worship God. Usually I get a little nervous before my sermon. I'm a little more nervous today than normal. I'm going to try something. So I hope it works out. I'm going to try a PowerPoint. I'm slowly trying to advance myself in technology, so please bear with me. We'll try to get through this to the best of our ability. Been brought up to my attention quite a few times. We've discussed business meeting. We need to bring up some lessons that we haven't been taught in a little while. And I've known Tim had presented a series upon it. It seems like every summer we go through this. And we got to at least mention it. And the fact is that people don't dress the way they need to be dressed. And I want to bring this up this morning. And that's what we're going to talk about. When we talk, try to find out if I'm working here. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with verse 8, I desire, therefore, to pray everywhere, lifting up the holy hands without wrath and doubting. Like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for a woman professing godliness with good works. We're not going to always be talking about the women. We're going to talk about the men this morning. They likewise need to be careful how we dress before God, before each other, within our lives. Should culture determine our modesty? In some cultures, and at certain times, almost any show of skin is considered immoral. Sultana Freeman of Winter Park, Florida, earlier this year wanted to be photographed for a driver's license while wearing a veil because she said religion dictates modesty in public. In certain fundamentalist Islam societies, women must be completely covered. Washington Irving quoted in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, "She was withal a little of a coquette. As soon as be perceived, even in her dress, which was a mixture of ancient, modern fashions, as most suited to set off her charms, she wore the ornaments of pure yellow gold, which her great-great-grandmother had brought her from Sedan. The tempting stomacher of the olden time, and withal a provokingly short petticoat to display the prettiest foot and ankle in the country about." The term coquette means a usually unscrupulous woman who seduces or exploits men. Now, what is considered immodest? Showing the ankle. Think about that. I hate to say that. I'm old enough that I can remember a point where showing an ankle of a woman was improper. So should we let customs determine our modesty? In our culture, almost anything goes. When French designer Louis Reed introduced the bikini back in 1946, Parisian models would not model. He had to hire a new dancer to unveil the swimsuit. Today is little frowned upon in society. Thong baby suits, micro miniskirts are championed on television and movies are seen elsewhere. The fact that the miniskirts, especially when they came out when I was in school, and like I say, I taught this 30 years ago. Time has not changed. We still got those who try to wear these things. The originator of the miniskirt, Mary Quant, said, and was asked, "What fashion? Where does it lead?" She sex. The virgin and miniskirt was a man. And we need to understand that. And this is why some of the outfits that are being worn today, whether we want to admit to it or not, are on a provocative nature. Well, we don't wear them that short. Well, why not if it's not accepted by society? The Bible is the standard we need to follow. And God is immutable. Regardless of what society allows, there is a point at which God has and always will draw a line. Where I draw that line or where you draw that line doesn't matter. What matters is where God draws it. It is obvious that the world has crossed that line at times. What about a Christian? He must depend upon God rather than man to determine whether he is modest in his behavior and dress. In Isaiah the 5th, beginning at verse 20, woe to those who are called evil, good, and good evil, who has put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who has put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The claim is, don't see what's wrong with it, will not help you in the judgment if you disregard God's directives. A good example was brought up this morning in the Bible study when we talked about Aaron's sons offering up a strange fire. Fire is fire, according to man. But it cost him, didn't it? And we need to understand that the way we dress and the way we appear before others will cost us our soul. 1 Timothy 2:9, where it says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly things. We need to determine what modest, propriety, and moderation means. 1 Peter says, 3:3-4, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very. And the terms we need to understand here is quiet and gentle. To determine the definitions of these terms, modest comes from cosmios, means in vine. Orderly, well arranged, decent. Art and getting rich, respectable, honorable. Used in first century writers as contrast to revealing clothing. Propriety means shamefastness in the King James Version. It means downcast eye, bashfulness, modesty. That modesty that was fast rooted in the character of the individual. Word used in Greek for the opposite being promiscuous. In Jeremiah the 8th chapter and verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, if they which fall upon those who fall, and the time of their punishment, they shall be cast out, saith the Lord. Not embarrassed to wear a particular outfit does not mean it's okay. Some are ashamed they wear. Think about the time in the past when I brought this up several occasions. When we talk about TV shows, things that weren't remember that one? Older individuals. And it in the movie started showing the appearance of a woman's back. Well, I got up out of the room. I could feel myself turning beet red. It was embarrassing for me to see that. Never seen anything like that before. Embarrassed from the things you see on TV now? I had an individual complain about the program. It used to be on TV years ago called Solid Gold, where it played rock and roll and hit songs at the time. And they had dancers in that. But at the same time, he thought it was okay to watch Hee Haw. And the outfits on those girls in Hee Haw was just as short as the ones on the Solid Gold television. One was okay, but the other, he didn't see anything wrong with. We need to be embarrassed about the things that goes on now. Moderation, sobriety, the soundness of mind, self-control, and of course, is strong. It is habitual inner self-government with its constant reign upon all passions and desire, which will hinder the temptation to these from arising. Used in a sense of being free from worldly values and lust. In effect, we must see a modest dress as being shameful as indecent. Again, term gentle, as we read in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, denotes gentle, mild, being meek. It is tempered, the spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, therefore, without disputing and resisting. Quiet indicates tranquility arising from within, causing no disturbance to others. One adornment is to come from a gentle and quiet spirit. Do we dress that way? We need to ask ourselves that. Lewdness, lasciviousness is the other term, denotes excess, absence of restraint, and decency, wantonness. The prominent idea is of shameless conduct. That's also translated as lasciviousness, wantonness. Contrast the term shamefastness, downcast eyes, blushing modesty with lewdness, and that considers the common dress of our day. Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 19, says, "Now the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." We need to define nakedness in the Scriptures. In the Hebrews, it means to be nude, partially or totally. Again, the word naked. In the Strong is nude, unclothed, scantily clad or poorly clad, clad in the undergarment only, the outer being laid aside. Best defined by context and descriptions and the verses that are recorded here. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 7, "Then the eyes of them that were opened, and they all knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." Who? Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden at this point. What happened? They partook of the fruit that they were not allowed to eat of. And it became such as between good and evil. Verses 9 and 10 states the fact that the Lord called to Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Also for Adam and his wife, in verse 21 of the same chapter, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. The figs that they made at that time wasn't enough. They were still shameful in the sight of God. He made them tunics of skin and covered them up. A tunic is to cover an inner garment next to the skin, as worn by women, generally with sleeves, coming down to the knees, rarely to the ankles. No distinction between man and woman in this. Exodus, the 28th chapter, verse 42, talks about as we're about to get into discussion and adult Bible study in the morning. It says, "And ye shall make them linen trousers to cover up their nakedness, for they shall reach the waist to the thighs." Were it aware that this ceremonial dress, they were to wear the linen trousers for a practical purpose, to cover up in their worship to God. Isaiah, the 47th chapter, beginning at verse 2. "Take the millstones and grind mill. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt, uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not arbitrate with a man." Yes, we're talking about Israel. But this is how they look before God at this point. What body parts? Look at it. The loins, the thigh. Common sense should dictate that we wear cover-up when we're out among people. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more here in a few minutes. The man, the chest, abdomen, the loins, the thigh. Common sense again indicates that outside of marriage, inside the home, these things should be covered up. Proverbs, the 5th chapter, beginning verse 1. "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ears to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immortal woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Down in verse 16, it says, "Drink water from thy own cistern, and running water from thy own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with your wife of your youth. As a loving deer, a graceful dove, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of the seductress?" Hebrews 13, chapter verse 4, Marriage is honorable among all, the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. What this monstrous dress does? Cover up our nakedness. It reflects shamefastness, sobriety, godliness, and good works in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. It reflects purity, reverence, a quiet spirit. Based on the Bible definition, some dress is always indecent, revealing. Those are see-through, skin tight. Those are insufficient, exposing thigh, midriff, or chest. Provocative, sexual, and alluring, showy, being extravagant. The fact is, we need to understand what God's will is. But before we finish this lesson, I need to bring out one thing. The way we dress can cause men to sin. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Began at verse 27. "Ye have heard that it said by them in old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." What does the scripture say? Just not to commit adultery. But if you look upon a woman and you lust after her, what happens? God's sight, you're already committed adultery. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that what I do, what you do, can cause one to sin. Again, Matthew the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 19. For out of the heart, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. My washing hand defileth not a man. Our thoughts are what we think, how we behave, brings forth sin. And we need to understand that. Years ago, and I'm talking about back in the 70s, Gallup poll, 50% of the young women viewed that they dressed for men, not for women. I imagine it's a little bit higher today. Maybe not even just for men anymore, the way the world has gotten. And we need to understand that. But you know, not only are you only helping those men commit sin in the sight of God by the way we dress, and women, they sin likewise by the thoughts they have, by the way we dress. But the fact is, we need to understand, we just condemned ourselves. Not only did we have them commit sin, I committed sin too. And I'm going to have to give an answer for what so-and-so thought because of the way I dress. In Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Then saith he to the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It is better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck, he cast in the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. What did Jesus say? You cause somebody to be offended? You cause them to sin by lusting after you? Better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and dropped. You're going to give an answer for the way we dress, the way you dress. Romans, the 14th chapter. Paul is speaking to the church of Rome. But the thought is the same for dress as it is for eating of meats this time. In verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Went to a small congregation down Long Grain, West Virginia. Me and Brother Dave Brewer. And there was a young lady down there that attended. It was a small congregation. Being down around 100 West Virginia, where you're away from the city to some extent, there was a young lady there that wore some of the shorter skirts that came out at that time. Decent young lady at that time, and she was a nice looking girl. But really, what really turned us off was the way she dressed. She opened her mouth to anybody. And from the history of that, I can't remember what happened to that young lady. I think Some say, well, I can't believe you're saying they asked for it. I'm not truly saying that. But when you offer the invitation, there's a problem. And it will lead to a problem. Now, I'm trying to put it as gently as I can. But the fact is, we need to be careful how we dress. What's the first thing you think of when I think of great hippies? I know your younger generation probably haven't heard the term a whole lot or know much about it. But what do you think of the term hippies? Long hair, dirty, lazy, into acid and drugs, into rock and roll. The way they dress, if you've seen somebody dress that way, what's your first impression? What do you think? One of them hippies. What do you think about all these people who got these piercings in their ears, earrings hanging down all over their tongue and everywhere else? What do you think? What do you think about, I've seen some nice looking women, but they got all these tattoos over them, down their arm. What do you think? What kind of individuals are they? When you think of somebody saying prostitute, harlot, what's the thing that pops in your mind? I can't see why Christians can't see sometimes what we wear. It's wrong. But we've been taught this for so long in our schools, in our society. Well, I do what I want. What happens shouldn't bother you. None of your business. It's my body, I'll do. Well, it does affect you. It affects me because thoughts I may have, it may condemn you to eternal damnation because you misled. Because you helped put them thoughts in your mind. I know each one of us got to give account for each ourselves, and we need to control our thoughts at all times. But you got to realize what you're doing. We do have an effect on one another. And we need to be careful of that. Think of 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. What about David? What happened to King David? You seen a beautiful woman out on the roof? Bathing? What took place? He committed adultery, tried to kill her husband, finally had him killed, lost the baby as a punishment for what he did. These swimsuits they got out nowadays, think about it. I hear women say, well, I'll never go out in my underwear. But at the same time, they'll put the same type of suit on, walk out, and see the same thing. What's the difference? We need to understand that. I'm not trying to be mean. I am trying to protect your soul. I am concerned about your soul and mine. And we need to understand that likewise. don't want to see you go to eternal damnation. I don't want to see you lose your soul. We need to understand that the way we dress, the way we behave, the way we act affects not only ourselves, others likewise. Yeah, I hear about child abuse. Incest goes on. You pick up the paper anymore on a daily basis. There's improper sexual activity going on between adults and little kids. Teachers, my dad talked to me yesterday. They started bringing sexual education into schools. Next thing you know, you're reading more about teachers being involved with students. What's going on? Maybe it's because of the way the teenagers dress today. I'm not just talking teenagers. I'm talking about adults likewise. But the fact is, we need to... But the fact is, we need to understand that we need to be careful how we dress and act among others. How's your soul? How you stand before God at this point? We need to think about it. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you must hear His word, believe, confess, be baptized, live a faithful life to death. There may be one here this morning that has done these things, may have dressed improperly, doing the things they ought not to be. Hopefully, what we've said this morning will cause you to think. Do something about your soul before it's eternally too late. It's all we're pleading for. Your soul and the soul of others. We need to think about these things. We need to be serious. Men and women. How do you stand before God? Would you be condemned? Or would you be able to get to heaven? You need to repent for those things you've done wrong. Your soul, your destiny. Think about those things as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.